Today, the Church in the United States celebrates Catechist Sunday. We bless on this day those who serve to educate our children in any way. And so after the homily, I'll be asking the catechists who are present at this Mass to come forward for a special blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Public opinion, as we probably know, is a fickle and changeable thing. Ask anyone who lives in the public eye, actors, teachers, think of coaches and sports figures. As long as they're winning, people love them. But what happens when they stop winning, when they don't make that goal that would have won the game, that crucial touchdown or field goal? People's opinion changes very fast. Of course, we think in the terms of public opinion, politicians whose lives seem to depend on the latest Pew survey and other opinion polls. That question that's in our hearts, what do people think about me, preoccupies so many of us. And it's the reason we make so many of the decisions that we do, especially some of the worst decisions in our lives. Think about those decisions you regret. Was it because you were worried about what people might think about you? But Jesus' question today, who do people say that I am, is not about opinion polls. Who do the people say that I am? Who do the crowds out there say that I am? In other words, those people who are outside of a relationship with him, the crowds who often see and believe only what they want to see and believe, or only who they want to see and believe. Jesus sets up the question not to gain information about the latest public opinion about himself, but he does it to make a point for his followers that we call disciples. The crowds who did not have a relationship with Christ responded, John the Baptist, or Elijah, or one of the prophets, those people who speak about God, who say they are speaking in the name of God. But he turns the question then to those who are closest to him. But who do you say that I am? And there actually is emphasis in that original language it's written in. Who do you say that I am? This is no small question. It's all about his identity. It becomes the most important question for each one of us. Who is Jesus? It's the most important question for us who are supposed to be in the most intimate relationship with him. After all, you receive him body and blood, soul and divinity. You can't get more intimate than that, the whole Christ who comes into us. Who do you say, as this disciple, who do you say Jesus is? The answer is more than the words that you and I use. It's both in the words and our daily lives and choices. Now, we miss his identity entirely if we treat Jesus as merely a wise and holy man who has some great advice on how to live, advice that you and I can take or leave. Believing in Jesus, that he's a good man with great advice, does not make you or me a Christian. Is being a Christian primarily about loving our neighbor, doing good deeds? Is it being what we think is a good person, what makes a good person? As one Catholic writer, Curtis Martin, put it, the primary message of Jesus is not love of God and neighbor, though this is crucial in importance. It is not about moral perfection, though it is essential in Jesus' teaching. No, the primary message of Jesus is Jesus. Other religious figures, Moses, Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, they all had messages about God or right living, for their followers, messages that they had received and they were passing on. But Jesus departs from them all in a singular way in making the radical claim that is more radical and totally unique. Jesus claims not to be the messenger. He claims to be the message. He is the Word itself, not a word from God, but the Word of God come down from heaven. His identity is the issue. It's all about who he is. Follow me, he says today to us. Follow me, not follow God, follow the Father. Follow me, turning it to him. In other places, he said, you have heard it said this, but I say to you this. They are fulfilling the law in himself. No other religious figure ever did that. They always pointed away from themselves. And then what does he say as well? Come to me, all you who are weary and find life burdensome, and I will give you rest. Faith means to see and to risk accepting Jesus Christ not only as the greatest teacher of the truth that ever lived, but as the truth itself. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat what this will mean for you and me as disciples, what it really means if we really want to be a disciple, that it's not easy. And that path of discipleship includes three of the world's most unpopular things. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Three most unpopular things in this world. It's the paradox of what it means to be a disciple, because it's in doing this that we find life. First, to deny the very self. That means to stop using the self as the governing principle of our actions, of our talk. Stop using the self as the starting place. You and I usually, because of that fallen human nature we have, we usually use as the self as the most important thing, the starting point for our decisions. How will this affect me? But if we're going to be Jesus' disciples, we must forget the self exists. And to say with St. Paul, it is no longer I, not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. To take up our cross. Every one of us has a cross. It's not fun. It's suffering. And we will have suffering in this life. And when we realize that we can't ignore the fact that things are going to seemingly go wrong, and we unite that to the man on the cross, who is God saving us in that very moment, redeeming us, when we unite that suffering to him on the cross, ours seems lighter. And finally, to follow. To follow in a world that says, you shouldn't be following anybody. You should lead the way yourself. But the place of a disciple is behind the teacher, behind the master. Not beside him, giving him advice. That was Peter's problem in the gospel today. It says he literally took Jesus to his side and started to tell him, no, Lord, that's not the way it's going to happen. This is the way it's going to be. But the place of the disciple is not beside him giving advice on the next step. It's not in front of him, presuming to lead him in the right path. To follow means that we recognize that we still have a lot to learn. Jesus is certainly offering us a real path to real happiness and life with him forever and ever. But he's also offering us something in this world, real freedom. Freedom from what people think about us. Freedom from opinion polls. Freedom from self-doubt. And freedom to truly live. His identity is the issue. He has come to give us so much. Do you know him? With your daily words and actions, who do you say that he is? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to invite